How did the Founding Fathers have such firm beliefs in what was right for our country when it was all brand new territory, literally and figuratively? The 13 colonies had broken away from a monarchy and needed to set up some form of government. Their ideas were brand new and untested. How did they know what would work and what was needed? Have you ever thought about these questions? I have. I've discovered that each founding father brought something unique to a brand new growing nation. James Madison was no exception. He was a learner, a scholar, who studied an issue from every possible angle, learning from books, newspapers, his own experiences, and the history of other countries and states. On May 14, 1787, delegates convened in Philadelphia at what would later be known as the Constitutional Convention, and General George Washington was elected chairman. James Madison had come prepared with firm ideas on what the new Constitution should say. The delegates had agreed to keep the debate at the convention a secret so that there would be no distortions or lies about what was happening. A scrupulous note-taker, Madison recorded a great deal of what went on each day during the debates and discussions. Every speech, every argument, every vote, Madison recorded. Then he would go back to his boarding house, read through his notes, and write out all the ways in which he agreed or disagreed with the various arguments. Madison sat up front each day, attending every session and listening to every speech. He gave many impressive speeches himself. In fact, his plans became the basis of the Constitution. He proposed a strong central government, as well as three branches of government. Within the branches would be a system of checks and balances, so that no one branch would be too powerful. Surrounded by the most brilliant, powerful men in the states, James Madison, standing only 5 feet 4 inches tall, made a big impression. Of Madison, Major William Pierce wrote, "Every person seems to acknowledge his greatness. The affairs of the United States, he perhaps has the most correct knowledge of any man in the Union." James Madison played such a large part in writing the Constitution that he is often called the father of the Constitution. James Madison was born in the mid-1700s into one of the wealthiest families in Orange County, Virginia. When James was 9 years old, his parents had a huge mansion named Montpelier built on their vast plantation. The oldest of 12 children, James was one of only 7 who lived to adulthood. James was often sick as a child and suffered from seizures throughout his life. Since there was no school near Montpelier, the Madison children were taught at home by their parents. They were privileged to own many books, all of which James read by the age of 11. James then spent 5 years at a boarding school and 2 years at home under the instruction of a tutor. His education included Greek, Latin, French, philosophy, math, and astronomy. At 18 years old, he rode horseback nearly 300 miles from his home to the College of New Jersey, present-day Princeton University. James excelled at school, finishing a 4-year education in only 2, with high marks in classical languages, math, rhetoric, geography, and philosophy. He stayed at the university and became Princeton's first graduate student, studying political philosophy and Hebrew. Upon his return to Montpelier, James became a tutor to his younger siblings and helped his father on the plantation. James continued to study book after book on law, which helped shape his political career. James decided he wanted to vote and get involved in the excitement of politics. In those days, the only people allowed to vote were men who owned property. So, in 1774, at the age of 23, James purchased a piece of property from his father. He was then able to vote and also to run for office. James was soon elected a member of the county's Committee of Safety, which helped oversee Virginia's militia. In 1775, the Virginia militia was called to join the Revolution. James wanted to join the war efforts, but his health prevented him from becoming a soldier. Even as a young man, James Madison was passionate about religious freedom. The Anglican Church was the official church of Virginia, and all taxpayers had to support the Anglican Church through taxes. Madison was horrified when he learned that several Baptist ministers had been thrown into jail simply for preaching their beliefs. In May of 1776, at 25 years old, James attended the 5th Virginia Convention, where George Mason drafted a new constitution for the state of Virginia. Young James mostly listened to the powerful speakers, such as Patrick Henry, but he did make a significant contribution to the new state constitution. He wrote an amendment to a bill in the Virginia legislature that changed the proposal that the state should allow religious toleration to the more robust, all men are equally entitled to the free exercise of religion. When he returned later that summer to Montpelier, James learned about the bold new document the Second Continental Congress had just signed on July 4, 1776, the Declaration of Independence, written by Thomas Jefferson. Shortly thereafter, the two would serve together in the Virginia legislature on the Committee of Religion. They shared a passion for religious freedom, and so began a deep, lifelong friendship. When Thomas Jefferson became governor of Virginia in 1779, Madison was his most trusted advisor. The advisorship to Thomas Jefferson only lasted 6 months because James Madison was then elected to the Second Continental Congress. At only 29 years old, he was the youngest delegate. But soon he had gained great respect among his fellow congressmen. With the Revolution raging, money and supplies were short, states were struggling to establish themselves, and Congress was grappling to hold together a brand new nation. There were often angry, bitter arguments between delegates. James quickly found his voice. He did not engage in resentful and enraged vernacular. Instead, he used calm, calculated words as his defense, often acting as a mediator. He learned the power of compromise, and he used it well. Many difficult issues were resolved because of his in-depth knowledge, along with his ability to express that knowledge in a way that made sense. These characteristics served Madison and the country well during the Constitutional Convention of 1787. After the 4 months of debates were over and all the compromises were made, the delegates finally voted to adopt the Constitution. Their work was not done, however. The next hurdle was to convince each state to accept or ratify the new Constitution. James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, and John Jay all set out to persuade with their pens. They wrote a series of 85 persuasive essays, which were published in newspapers throughout the states and later became known as the Federalist Papers. Many of the states were hesitant to ratify the Constitution without a Bill of Rights. They wanted a very clear list of the rights of individuals and of states. Another small group of men emerged, called the Anti-Federalists, who wrote articles arguing against the ratification of the Constitution. However, due to the clear explanations in the Federalist Papers and the assurances of an addition of a Bill of Rights, the Federalists won the day, and enough states voted to ratify the Constitution. James Madison soon used some of George Mason's writings for Virginia to draft a new Bill of Rights. These guarantees eventually became the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. Now, here's a fascinating story about James Madison. When George Washington was elected the first president of the United States, Washington asked Madison to write his inaugural address. Then, As a member of the House of Representatives, Madison wrote a response from Congress to the president's inaugural address. He then wrote Washington's thank you letter back to Congress. James Madison may not have had the spotlight, but his words certainly did. Besides writing for and advising President George Washington as a member of Congress, Madison was close friends with the Secretary of State, Thomas Jefferson, and with the Secretary of the Treasury, Alexander Hamilton. However, Hamilton began to propose more and more ideas for greater federal control, while Jefferson and Madison favored many powers being left to state and local governments. What had been the groups known as the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists during the debate over the ratification of the Constitution shifted into opposing political parties. Madison was now on the side of the Anti-Federalists, whose party was often called the Democratic Republicans. Hamilton's supporters were known as the Federalist Party. It was about that time that James met the lovely and charming Dolly Payne Todd. Her husband and baby had died in a yellow fever epidemic, leaving her alone with a toddler. Although she was 17 years younger than Madison, he being 43 and she 26, he couldn't help but be drawn to her charisma, wit, and intelligence. The couple was married in 1794 and went to live in Philadelphia, where Madison continued to serve in Congress. When George Washington retired as president in 1797 and Federalist President John Adams was elected, James Madison, frustrated and discouraged by Federalist actions, retired and moved with Dolly back to Montpelier. He stayed in close touch with Thomas Jefferson, who, determined to stay out of politics, had resigned as Secretary of State after Washington's first term. Despite this, Jefferson was persuaded to run for president against John Adams. He lost the race and ended up serving as Adams' vice president for 4 years. When Jefferson ran again against Adams in 1800 and won, he immediately asked his close friend Madison to serve as his Secretary of State. One of their most significant accomplishments during Jefferson's 2 terms was the Louisiana Purchase, which more than doubled the size of the U.S. Madison was instrumental in pressuring Napoleon to eventually sell the vast tract of land for a mere $15 million. In 1809, Jefferson followed the example of Washington, stepping down after 2 terms. James Madison was then elected the 4th President of the United States. Thanks to Dolly Madison, the Executive Mansion became a captivating venue for balls, banquets, and massive social events. They were not just frivolous parties, but opportunities for the introverted president to meet with foreign diplomats, governors, and congressmen. In contrast to James' quiet aloofness, Dolly had charm in spades. People fell in love with her warmth and wit. Some say the term First Lady began with Dolly Madison, as she set a standard for the role of a president's wife thereafter. The presidency was not all glitz and glamour. Far from it, in fact. Tensions with Britain led Madison to declare war in 1812. The fight did not start out well for the United States. The soldiers were farmers and merchants who had been trained only on weekends. Military leaders were scarce, and there was very little money for weapons, gunpowder, and equipment. The U.S. Navy was the nation's saving grace, with well-crafted ships, though they were few, experienced sailors, and bold captains. The small victories the Navy won lifted the spirits of worried U.S. citizens, and Madison was re-elected to a 2nd term during the war. In 1814, Madison rode out to join the troops defending Washington, D.C., and left Dolly behind. As the British were descending upon the Capitol, Dolly had trunks of important state papers, the White House silver, and lastly, the famous portrait of George Washington whisked away to safety. Dolly quickly fled their home as the British proceeded to burn down the Executive Mansion, along with the Capitol building and the Library of Congress. 3 weeks later, the British were defeated in Baltimore and forced to withdraw. General Andrew Jackson had led the military to a huge victory against the British on January 8, 1815. No one yet knew the outcome, however, and the Federalists tried to force the unpopular Madison to resign. But on February 4th, Madison learned of Jackson's incredible victory, and on February 14th, he learned that the British had agreed to a peace treaty. Madison's popularity soared. The United States had fought England, the most powerful nation on earth, and had not lost. They had even had several victories, most notably that of Andrew Jackson in New Orleans. Without money tied up in war, Madison turned his attention to the building of roads, canals, and a national university. Madison was content to serve two terms like Washington and Jefferson before him. He felt relieved to leave behind the duties of president. Finally home in Montpelier, his attention turned to running his plantation, reading books, and writing letters, often to governors and congressmen who sought his advice. "The advice nearest to my heart," he wrote, "is that the union of the states be cherished." From his home in Montpelier, the father of the Constitution watched with pride as the nation grew. The Constitution continued to be the law of the land. Settlers pushed west into the Louisiana Territory, and new canals and roads helped expand trade and travel. James Madison was not one who led soldiers into battle or moved crowds with powerful speeches. Rather, he used his pen to build the framework of a new nation. His influence on the young nation through the Constitution, the Federalist Papers, and the Bill of Rights is immeasurable. Madison continued to be hopeful about the future of the country even into retirement when he wrote, "The happy union of these states is a wonder, their constitution a miracle, their example the hope of liberty throughout the world. Woe to the ambition that would mediate the destruction of either."